The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Good evening, Kara. Do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do. So, former Blink-182 guitarist and a living vessel for all manner of paranormal beliefs, Tom DeLonge will be hosting a History Channel series aimed at building a, quote, indisputable case for the existence of UFOs. The series, entitled Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation, will include DeLonge's interview with military intelligence official Luis Elizondo, who confirmed the existence of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program a few years ago. In other UFO news, a large, long, rectangular object was reported flying low over a highway in Georgia. It was, quote, glowing with various shades of bright orange through surface covered in octagon-shaped windows / exterior shell, said an eyewitness, who also said it was, quote, too massive and moving too quickly to be a balloon. Georgia MUFON chief investigator closed this case as an unknown aerial vehicle. In a very obscure story I found, seven girls from a Bangladesh school were hospitalized for mass hysteria after they passed out in unison while singing the national anthem last Monday. Officials believe the hysteria may have been triggered by mental health or, quote, changes in weather. Turning now to sea monster news, there were two new sightings of the Loch Ness Monster in 5 days, although this was not reported on in the mainstream press. A woman from Manchester claims to have snapped a photo of the beast, while an Irish tourist claims he caught an image of the celebrity cryptid on his webcam. Neither story has been confirmed, but that has not stopped a new outbreak of Nessie mania in the region. Finally, last week, President Trump retweeted a Pizzagate conspiracy theorist, a QAnon conspiracy theorist, and a conspiracy theorist who believed that the New Zealand mosque attack was staged to limit gun rights, in a historic bit of representation for the reality of Earth everywhere. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Thank you, Kara. So, you know what? I like to work my way backwards through these things. Trump
sure.
Retweeting stuff is like, it's weird because, you know, Obama was really credited as the president in the campaign that sort of brought social media as a force to elections.
Sure.
But, man, Trump has taken it to a whole nother level where he is being – I can't imagine people looking at my postings so closely and, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know, I wonder if he's, like, reposting the Pizzagate going, oh, this is a really cool Dan. I like this one. My buddy Dan. That Dan, what's up? You know, it's like – or if he's really just all – you know, Hillary obviously had the pizza sex ring, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I have a hard time with that one. How could anybody believe that there was a child sex ring in a pizza parlor? Now, if there was, I am totally like, that's pretty crazy stuff. That's pretty.
Right. But, yeah, there's no evidence whatsoever to support that idea.
Yeah, it's just way over the top. And what were the other two that he was posting?
QAnon conspiracy theorist.
What's so, QAnon?
That's a guy. He posts lots of... QAnon is a person, but post lots of very strange things and ultimately believe that the government is controlled by... What is it? I think it's some sort of cult full of... that, like, drinks the blood of infants.
Yeah. So wouldn't Trump be controlled by that? I mean, that's a weird thing for him to read.
Well, I don't know. He's like the Facebook grandma president. You know, he just posts crazy stuff.
Totally.
Yeah.
So yeah, every time my dad would call, I always knew it was him because I would pick up the phone and I would say hello, and then I would hear this, and then I'd hear a bunch of like beeping of buttons and stuff like that, and then he'd be all, "Hello, Chauncey," and I always knew it was him because I had to wait for the throat to clear and the beeping of buttons.
Sure.
And so yeah, you know, I get it.
Right.
And Trump really reminds me of my dad. He does. He does. He has that same. My dad was the sort of guy who would have complimented the figure of the wife of the leader of France.
You know? Yeah.
I could hear Jared laughing from the. All right. And then earlier than that, mass hysteria. I always find this.
I love mass hysteria.
I find it so interesting because of, like, you know, witch trials and
right.
The dancing disease or whatever
the
that
dancing
was.
Plague. Yeah. Yeah. I find mass hysteria just sounds so incredibly unconvincing as an explanation for all of these things.
Totally.
But it's like always more convincing than any alternative.
Yeah, I find mass hysteria really interesting because I don't believe in mass hysteria.
Exactly. That's where I'm at.
So every time that somebody's just all, oh, it's mass hysteria,
it's okay, but what was it actually?
Right. There's a mystery afoot here, you know.
And it's true. We, you know, mass hysteria, if you go to the Wikipedia article on it or something, you know, that's the best just example I can think of. It's a real short article.
Right.
And it's just like, it's a phenomenon that's psychologists have said happens,
right.
But it's, you know, it's like idiopathic fever. It's like, this is a thing we just don't, it's,
to
we
me,
have
it's
a term
the,
for it because we can't explain it.
Right, exactly. Like, we can't figure it out, so this sounds good.
So, yeah.
And then rectangular UFOs, we got enough time to talk UFOs later, so I'm going to skip on to Tom DeLonge, even though that's UFOs, because
indeed,
I grew up as kind of a punk kid. I was into punk.
Sure.
And then the 90s hit, and punk got all, like, skateboarder bro and football bro. And then Blink-182 came out. And so every time I hear Tom DeLonge, I'm just all like, I don't know. This guy's band's
Yeah, it has nothing to do with his beliefs. It's
right.
Purely just on a musical level, if you don't respect
right.
him.
Well, no, that's not it. It also makes me feel ashamed about myself because I got this buddy Chad who was like, you know, the emperor of punk when we were kids or whatever.
The emperor of punk.
Yeah, the
okay.
emperor of local
His
punk.
Majesty.
He's gonna hate that I said that. Everybody else will laugh about it, you know. But even now he's all grown up and he's just all like, yeah, you know, they're a pretty good band. They write some good songs, and I'm just all, man, if Chad can get over it, can't I get over it? Why can't yeah. I get over it? Chad's all grown up now, but I can't.
Maybe you just have more refined taste.
I don't know. I don't think that's the case because I've come to the conclusion that I'm an anti-conformist, which is
You're a contrarian.
I'm just a different kind of conformist. I conform.
Just to the opposite.
To the opposite. But I'm still a conformist.
I sure don't like putting babies on spikes. Well.
Yeah, well, here I am on the radio. You know, I used to have a newspaper. It's like print was dead. And I'm all, maybe I should start a newspaper. And everybody's just all, radio's a dying medium. And I'm all, maybe I should start a radio show. You know, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because... You know.
Well, we're doing a conspiracy show, so if anything, it's an undead medium.
I like that. I like that. There's
Thank
a T-shirt
you.
In there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
I
you could do
like
something
that.
With medium, because, like, we have mediums on.
Right.
Be,
undead,
like,
medium,
a pun somehow.
All right, we're going to work on that.
Yeah, we'll have to workshop that.
All right, we're coming up on break here. Tonight, our guest is William Pullett. And we're going to be talking about where, why, and how... The most common places for UFO sightings to happen are.
I'm excited.
I'm interested to see when they happen, where they happen, and
why they happen.
I don't know if we're going to get
yeah,
that
we're
answer.
Not gonna get
you
that.
Know, you know, William's pretty pragmatic. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Spring. Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received the call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, William Pulland. William, I'm not sure if I should still call you a guest. Maybe I should say our friend returning, William Pulland. William, are you there with us?
I'm here. I'm good with whatever label you can apply to me, so I'm good.
Well, you know, most of the other ones I want to use aren't allowed to be said on the radio.
Friend and ally, Archduke,
yeah.
Grand Inquisitor.
How are things in California?
Good. You know, it's finally, we've hit some nice weather, finally. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much a...
Spring in Reading is a 3-4 week affair, so we're enjoying it.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. Before we're back to fire season, probably.
Right. We have fire season and we have water season.
Right.
And then we have, you know, about a month total of nice days.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But my wife, I don't know. She's
sounds
all
like Texas, yeah.
Yeah. She's all about the brutal heat. But when I lived in Arizona, there was like 1 month of spring, like 10 months of summer, and then a month of monsoon season where it just rained, but there's no drainage, and so everybody got flooded out, you know, so.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
So, William, tonight our show, we're going to be talking about where the most common UFO sightings happen, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess we should probably hop right into this. You know, there's a couple of ways to address where the most sightings happen. So let's hit it like where in the world geographically. You know, what are we thinking there?
Well, you know, there's certain hot spots. South Central, I was going to say Chicago, South Central Colorado, California. South America has been a hotbed of UFO activity for decades. And, of course, there's always the wave phenomenon where a geographical area has an influx of sightings for a short amount of time, and then it kind of fades away. But there are certain areas of the world, like I said, California, South America, Australia is pretty active with UFO sightings, and that's kind of been maintained through the decades. So, but any numbers we get are kind of skewed because, of course, most people don't report these things.
Right. Yeah.
And, of course, the vast majority of these are explainable by mundane means. So, and in today's society, most everybody is looking down at their phone.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever's in the sky, whether it's extraterrestrial or not, a lot of it's not being spotted. They're not looking up.
Yeah, I guess Tel Aviv has the very first crosswalk light on the ground to tell you when to stop and go because of people looking down at their phones.
Wouldn't there be more like photos and videos, though, because people have their phones? So if they do look up, they'd be...
Not if they're not looking. And, you know, everybody always says they had a phone. Why didn't they take a picture? But these things are moving quickly, you know? I mean,
not
by the
true.
Time I get my phone out of my pocket. But I guess other people just constantly have it going. But I don't really
You don't know. Keep your phone in a little quick draw holster.
Totally. So like just, like janitor keys, you know?
Fastest phone in the West.
Yeah, totally.
That's funny, that scenario. I recall his name is escaping me right now, but... there was a researcher that worked for NICAP in the 60s, and he would carry a camera with him all the time, loaded and ready to go in case he saw a UFO.
Wow.
And this is, of course, this is pre-cell phone.
Right.
And, of course, nowadays everybody's carrying a cell phone which has a camera and a video device contained within. So I find that troubling because at some point someone's got to take a picture.
Right.
Not everybody's going to be... not everyone's going to be like kind of deer in headlights if they see one. Somebody's going to think, okay, let me take a picture of this thing. But we really don't have that, so that's kind of troubling.
Yeah, but if you think about it, a lot of these places that these sightings are happening, the American Southwest, Australia, South America, these are places that don't have a lot of light pollution, which is where most of these cameras are and these people are. You know, so most of these sightings, I'm just guessing off of the stuff we were given here, are areas without a lot of light pollution where you can actually see the stars and see the sky a little bit better.
That's very true. Yeah, I mean, you have an urban sprawl. The skies are polluted with light, non-natural light.
Right.
So if something is emitting light of its own, it's flying in the sky, it's going to be lost in the blur of all the other pollution. As opposed to a place with a lower population, that immediately means you have, or generally, it means you have less technology, which means less light pollution.
Yeah.
So it's more a natural look. You're looking up at the sky, you can see the Milky Way, you can see the stars. There is a lot less pollution to kind of run through before you can actually see a UFO. I mean, it's more apparent if you see one. But then the other side of the coin is that certain areas that have a higher density population report a higher number of sightings. And that kind of makes sense, too, because if there's more people in an area, there's more likely going to be more eyes on the sky than, say, an area that's less densely populated. So there's arguments both ways. But you're right, the light pollution issue is that's very problematic.
Yeah,
trying to spot something.
Have you ever seen a terrible movie from the 90s called Arrival and Charlie Sheen was in it?
Yes, they actually made a sequel to that, too.
Yeah, I saw them both, with the backward knees aliens.
It's a horrid movie. Yeah.
I know. I've seen it like four times, but I know it's terrible.
I apologize.
But, I think about that because I'm always like a little surprised that South America is such a hotbed for this – for these sightings, and it makes me wonder, like, let's say, okay, UFOs are here, aliens are here, and they are doing the thing. So for the sake of argument, let's just say that is happening, and we know it. That movie sort of proposed the idea that they were kind of terraforming the planet, but whatever motivations is fine, but they were going to less technologically advanced parts of the world where they could do those things without the scrutiny of governments and stuff noticing. So that kind of crosses my mind because I'm just all, you know, why would UFOs be hitting up South America? What exactly is going on? I mean, are they into...
But then it should be like Africa.
Yeah, but I mean, are they into beaches? Do they like the rainforest? Yeah. You know, do they want cocaine? I don't know. You know, what are...
Are those the things that you know about South America? Just beaches, rainforest, and cocaine?
Well, that's why that Americans... That's why Americans go there. You know.
Okay, well, that's fair.
You know.
Yeah, but I've always had this idea that, you know, in South America, certain areas of the world that are maybe... the UFO issue is less taboo to talk about. Perhaps people are more comfortable reporting these things. So that may explain why there's more sightings reported, because people are actually coming forward, as opposed to some other countries where that the ridicule factor is kind of still in play.
Yeah.
That's an issue. But having never lived in South America or Australia, I that may be an incorrect assumption. But there's so many factors that come into play when trying to wrap your head around the numbers that are reported. But I always go back to most people don't report these things. So I wonder how skewed are our numbers? How incorrect are they? Or how inaccurate are they? Because we're drawing these patterns and making these assumptions and drawing conclusions off numbers that may be incorrect to a greater or lesser degree. So that's very troubling too. But it might be the arrival. I don't know.
You know, it would be nice if we could get something like Google and Facebook on board with some of these ideas, because they actually have teamed up with one another when it comes to the flu, and they are actually able to track the flu as it crosses the country before it even happens. They're able to see where people are talking about it, make note of that data, and actually say where the flu is going to hit next. You know, and they could probably do this with all sorts of topics, because for every person who's not reporting it, you know, they probably are talking about it on social media or in other places that we just can't get the data.
Yeah, that makes logical sense. Yeah.
But I don't think they take it seriously enough, I guess.
So you're proposing that large corporations should use surveillance technologies to track our UFO discussions.
Well, they're already doing it for our other discussions. I mean,
I'm just saying, that's like, I think, three different novels or movies or whatever just rolled into one proposal.
Haven't you figured out that my view of everything is really just an amalgamation of a bunch of movies that I saw?
No, that's fair.
You know. So, you
know, no, you're right. It's our ability to wrap our head around this phenomenon to a greater or lesser degree is kind of influenced by our ability to use our technology.
Mm.
And certainly social media, Google, Facebook, these are all avenues to report and keep track of data, just raw data. And we can use that technology to whatever means for any subject matter, be it whether it's the flu or the UFO issue or whatever the case may be. I don't know if anyone's really doing that right now, but maybe that would give people an opportunity to report these things anonymously,
right?
Which may lead more people to actually come forward. If they're not having to put their name on a report or put a face to a person, if they're more comfortable just giving their testimony without revealing anything about themselves, that might bring more reports to light. But then you come to the issue with that is it possible to investigate a report unless you're able to background check the witnesses?
Right.
Well, you can use social media for that,
too. Yeah,
double-edged sword. All right. Well, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to William Pullen. We're talking about UFO sightings, when, where, how often, and at what consistency and all that nice stuff. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Dance on and on, the sky awaits you. Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to our buddy William Pullen. We're talking about sightings. You know, we hit the first segment. We were kind of talking about the logistics. You know, where are those sightings? We were hitting the American Southwest. We were hitting South America. We were hitting Australia. In this segment, I'm kind of curious to maybe talk about what types of places within those areas they're hitting. There's always been the brought up of, you know, any nuclear facilities, nuclear silos, nuclear reactors and stuff. There seems to be some correlation there with sightings. You know, what types of places are we seeing these sightings?
Well, you know, the great wave of 1947, a lot of it was focused on, like you said, the American Southwest. A lot of the military sites, White Sands, New Mexico, Roswell Army Air Field, Muroc Army Air Field, and now it's Edwards Air Force Base in California. Military sites, especially military sites that were conducting secret experiments or what have you, seemed to report a lot of sightings. Of course, then to be influenced by military personnel scanning the skies for possible spy satellites, spy airplanes, what have you. I mean, so
not to mention experimental why things are being sighted.
Beyond that, I mean, there's not really a huge increase in sightings when you get close to urban areas, which is interesting because you have a higher density population. You would think with more people in a certain area of the planet, you would have a higher incidence of UFO sightings, but that doesn't really happen. So beyond the nuclear power facilities and then military sites, there's no other specific type of structure or area which seems to have a higher incidence of UFO sightings per se. It's always thrown out there in the community, but just from a number standpoint, they really don't jump out at you. There's no other facility like a zoo or a park or a city hall where things are seen overhead with a higher level of incidence. So,
right. I always thought it was weird that people are, I listen to this stuff and I try to believe what I can. I try to get in there, and every time they bring up sightings around military bases and nuclear power and silos and stuff like that, I can't help but to automatically think, well, of course, it's military, it's experimental aircraft, it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they seem to be a difficult place to really sort of find, at least for me, somebody who is a skeptic who wants to believe these things. That's a tough area for me to believe because it seems so logical that it could be so many other things.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think that the vast majority of UFO sightings are mundane in nature. But when they're over a nuclear or when they're over a military facility, my first gut reaction is that's a military aircraft of some sort, whether it's known to the public or the military or it's secret. That's my first gut reaction. So I think that the percentage of explainable UFOs actually increases going over those military test sites, because the vast majority, I think, are secret aircraft. Whether it's over, let's say, a more mundane Air Force base where they're not really conducting anything experimental, then you get to other Air Force bases and other facilities that are clearly of a higher security level, and they're experimenting with aircraft, whatever the aircraft may be. At some point, they've got to fly these things over those facilities.
Right.
And those airspaces are closed, but sightings still occur.
But not from
an
angle.
It just tells me that's military aircraft being seen. So.
Yeah. This one wasn't on our agenda to talk about, but hopefully you maybe know something about it. But no worries if you don't. It seems to me like a year ago to about 3 years ago, there was a big boom in people saying that there were offshore underwater alien bases where there were a lot of sightings of craft off the coasts of cities. What do you make of those sightings?
I don't make much of them. I mean, I haven't seen any concrete proof or documentation to lead me to believe that there's some non-terrestrial bases established offshore. I hear a lot of stories about things being reported off the coast of Southern California. And supposedly there's an extraterrestrial base offshore in the Pacific Ocean. I don't know how one would go about proving that other than a fleet of submarines going down there and checking things out. I mean, I just don't know. Now, USOs and underwater, I mean, unidentified submerged objects are seen underwater, and some do break the surface of the water and become UFOs, flying objects. Those are reported. And some of those are unexplained, but making the leap that there's actually an established alien base there, I'm not comfortable making that leap. So, I'm still skeptical about that.
Just for curiosity's sake, what are some notable or credible USO sightings that you know of? Because this is kind of new to me. I haven't really heard about this.
Well, there's numerous sightings I've read in the literature, but none of them really leaped out off the paper at me and made me think, okay, this is a multiple witness sighting with documentation. There's some level of physical evidence. There was a radar trace or whatever. None of those seem to have those, doesn't fill that criteria for me. So they're kind of vague. They're lights under the ocean. People may see them off a yacht, or someone is flying in a Cessna or a Piper Cub or some small aircraft, and they see something under the water, and they report it, a light under the ocean. But because it's under the ocean, it's usually just vague lights. It's not something that a structure isn't reported. Some form of a craft usually is not reported. It's more like just a light source underwater that looks unnatural.
Right.
Whether it is unnatural, I have no idea, but that seems to be the extent of the sightings. But of course, like everything else in this field, people make a jump to the exotic to explain them, as opposed to, well, this is probably, it might be something misidentified or what, something natural in occurrence, because it's unknown. They make the leap to alien first, as opposed to trying to explain them.
It also seems that it's like a big sort of open no man's land, a place that we all know is very unexplored. And it seems to me like one of the thoughts that passed through my mind is that people who are trying to make a buck kind of know that they could come up with whatever they want out over the ocean and really not be proven wrong in their lifetime. You know, I don't know if I'm saying that very well, but it seems like a great place to sort of invent something.
Oh, sure, yeah. And I think in today's UFO community or today's society, it's become a lot easier to do that. You wouldn't even need the ocean. You could just make up a story about anything. And because people don't use enough critical thinking or use logic, they will believe that without really looking into the validity of the claim. That happens all the time. So, and unfortunately, that makes researchers and that makes the general public not really pay attention to the problem. And the trouble is there are a few cases that are strong. They remain unexplained. They have a lot of evidence and a lot of different aspects of evidence that really make these things. It's a really a thought-provoking case, but they're not looked at because they're bunched up with these other cases that are just flub or crap.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big problem too.
Well, that's where a lot of the mockery comes in. That's where a lot of the stuff comes in, where the stuff's not taken seriously because so many times it's been proven to be something else, you know, and then people just automatically assume. All right, William, we're coming up on our break here. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're talking to our guest, William Pullen, about UFO sightings. Come on back.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Karen. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking with our guest, William Pullen. We're talking about UFO sightings. William, I thought we'd spend a little bit of time right here talking about how there seems to be a decline in UFO sightings, and I think a lot of people would attribute that to technology and everybody, thinking they got it figured out. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think there's a decline in UFO sightings?
Yeah, I've heard reports like that, from a lot of credible, researchers. There may be a decline, as to why there's a decline. I have no idea, but I'm cautious about that because again, the numbers are skewed because you don't know what percentage of people are actually reporting these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, any conclusions drawn are kind of have to be, viewed in a cautious light. I don't know. I've been looking over some papers and research books that I've gotten over the last couple of years that have made the case that there is a decline in sightings. Although I wonder if that's a decline in general sightings as opposed to a decline in high quality sightings.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know.
Yeah, because there's also the levels. There's multiple witness sightings. There's the average single person seeing something. I wonder if that's a general statement about all sightings overall. Or is it about a specific type of sodium?
Right.
If you type UFO sighting into YouTube, then you'll get, you know, tens of thousands of videos of UFOs, but how many of them are exactly.
Well, earlier we talked about how light pollution is possibly one reason why there might be less sightings, you know, and then in the last segment we kind of talked about how crazies have kind of diluted it to this point where people are maybe less apt to even believe their own eyes because they're just all like, it's got to be something else because all these crazies talk about this stuff. you know, one thing that crossed my mind about why there might be less sightings and less reported sightings is a level of snooty entitlement. And that is, I know this sounds weird, but we've gotten to this world of technology where we're so inundated with technology that if we were to see something that we couldn't explain, how many of us would just say, I'm sure that's explainable because we're humans and we're awesome. I just don't necessarily know, and just kind of move on without a thought.
I see your point. I've seen some of that on social media, comments that come off like that. They don't take someone else's sighting seriously. Because they assume that it's something explainable or not important, or it didn't happen to me, therefore it didn't count, you know, that kind of scenario. I think there's something to that. And then I wonder, going back to the light pollution scenario, are there fewer sightings being reported? Is that because they're not being reported or they're not being seen?
Right.
Because those are two different things. I don't know. Because human population is exploding. Therefore, light pollution is increasing over the planet's surface. So maybe things just aren't being seen and they're not being witnessed to report them. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
The majority of people do live in urban areas. Most of the population growth is in areas with a lot of light pollution.
So. Yeah. And I thought you brought up a good point earlier that I think people would quickly laugh off, but I don't find it to be one that would be laughed off, and that is that everybody's looking down. Everybody's involved. And people can say, oh, well, they're all just looking at their phones. That's not necessarily it. We're so inundated with media and technology that people are just constantly focused or reverse focused by checking out into something else. Just take away the phone. When I'm driving my car, I spend 90% of the time that I'm not staring at the road driving, looking at the radio station and hitting buttons trying to find a song I don't hate. You know, and so, like, even in the case of that, I'm focused on something else, you know, so we really just, maybe we're just not finding our entertainment in the dream much anymore, which involves looking up, looking around, and sort of dreaming a little bit, because, you know, I always have a movie to watch. I always have a podcast to listen to. I always have something else going on.
A UFO podcast. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as technology has increased, as technology has begun to run our lives more, we're becoming more and more unaware of our surroundings, our natural surroundings, and what's going on around us, because we're so distracted and focused on what we're being inundated with, data and other things we're focusing on, as opposed to looking up at or noticing how the weather is or what's in the sky or what's not in the sky or the natural world around us we're not aware of and becoming less and less aware of it as generations pass. So that could be part of it too. It's like you said, it's not just as simple as looking down at your phone. It's more of a the scenario is people are just not focused on their natural surroundings. They're more focused on something else.
All right.
Yeah, we're definitely more distracted. So.
Yeah, we're checked out.
So, yeah.
You know. If you're listening to this in the car, then, you know, watch the road and maybe look up. Heaven.
Right. every night I try to turn off my computer and stop working by about 11 o'clock. I end up working till about 11:30. And then I say I'm going to just watch something and I'm going to go to bed by midnight. And I end up going to bed by 1 o'clock. And then I listen to something as I go to bed and I say I'm going to fall right asleep and I listen to half an hour. So my plan is to get to bed by 11:30 and I don't get to bed until 1:30 because I'm so invested in pointlessness, frankly. You know, I mean, last night I'm watching Supergirl. It's terrible. You know, but yeah. I mean, that's what I do. You know, it's
you told us last segment that you had watched Arrival 4 times.
Yeah, and the sequel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may have it worse than
that. Oh, that does hope for.
Yeah, yeah. I watch a lot of terrible, terrible stuff. All right. So, William, it's been great having you on the show. Why don't we talk a little bit about your Facebook group? You're probably getting sick of talking to me about your Facebook group because, of course, you and I, we both know about it.
Now, I was thinking you're probably up at night scanning my Facebook group. That's what you're doing.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. So, no, everyone can find me at my interactive UFO group on Facebook. It's called the UFO Real, a Historical Review. And I also launched in February a personal blog on Facebook where I kind of throw out my personal opinions about the UFO community and its issues and the enigma itself. So that's cleverly titled William Pullen.
That is creative.
Might be difficult to remember.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm following that one. You're going to have to invite me to remind me to check it out. I'm making a note.
I'll send you one right after we get off the air. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you know,
take care of that. Yeah.
William, it's always great to have you on the show. You are definitely a regular, and you're a regular on purpose because we love to have you, and the conversation's easy. I was talking to my wife when I was leaving today, talking about how tired I was because I'm attempting to exercise, and she's all, well, who are you having on? And I'm all, I'm having on William, and she's all, well, at least it'll be easy for you, you know. And I'm just, all right, you know, that's pretty great.
I appreciate that. No, I love having you being on the program. You guys are too kind to me. So.
All right. Well, you've been listening to William Pullen, and until next time, when William is on again, you're listening to Radio Wasteland.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.